Bibles, please, to Psalm 101 for our first reading. Psalm 101, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God, a psalm of David. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely, in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So, we have a return in this psalm to a certain Davidic authorship, right? We don't need to wonder who wrote Psalm 101. We've been wondering that since Psalm 90, and we heard Moses, and then with all of those psalms that have intervened and have not had titles, we've had some discussion about authorship. But not here. We don't need to worry about that. We know who wrote Psalm 101. It is indeed great King David. This is one of those instances where we look at David and we see him, as we've heard Jonathan Edwards characterize it, personating the Lord Jesus Christ. These next three psalms, according to Dr. Robertson in his book, The Flow of the Psalter, speak to the kingship of David, which is indeed a type of the great kingship of Messiah. So we have in this psalm the wise and righteous commitments of the covenanted king over the kingdom which belongs to God. And so David here, we see David's heart for his kingdom. What is the heart of David for his kingdom? And can I just say it this way? What would be the heart of any superior for their inferiors? That they would be righteous. That they would be upright. That they would be obedient to the Lord. If there is any even a modicum of compassion and love toward those that are under them, they desire then for them all of the blessings that attend uprightness. And so this is David's desire as well for his kingdom. And certainly it is the pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ when we hear from 1 Corinthians 15 that he must reign. Notice, not he's going to reign someday, but he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be subdued is death. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, as the antitype of what we hear from David today, is about doing what? Putting all enemies under his feet. Scrubbing unrighteousness out of his kingdom. My dear brothers and sisters, this speaks to us in such a way that our Lord Jesus Christ has committed to us certain things. He has committed to us to make the righteous shine as the sun. He has committed to us to clothe us with those white robes which Revelation chapter 7 identifies as the righteousness of saints. Our Lord Jesus Christ has committed not only that we will stand before God clothed in his own righteousness, but that he will send his Spirit to us and purge us from iniquity. and that there is coming a day when that process will be completed by Him in such a way that we will be removed from the very presence of sin. This is indeed the pursuit of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that it has already begun. It has already started today. Our Lord Jesus Christ is about purifying His people, purifying the sons of Levi, purifying His kingdom, purifying the ministry of the gospel, and purifying the people that come to hear it, that we might be a people offering up unto Him a pure offering, the calves of our lips. So, with that introduction to this psalm, David first of all says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee. The word mercy here is our favorite word, hesed, which speaks of the covenant fidelity of our Lord Jesus Christ to His kingdom. He is a covenanted king, and He will indeed fulfill all the terms of the covenant that He has made with His Father on our behalf, not only to come and to die for us, not only to provide a way of salvation for us, but also to purge and to cleanse and to cause His church to rise up as that beautiful new Jerusalem that we see. Outside are the dogs, outside are the unclean, and within are those who are shining with the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. So I will sing of mercy and judgment, and remember that covenant fidelity of Christ is a covenant of love and a covenant of, it's a sword that goes two ways. The Word of God that comes out of the mouth of Jesus Christ is a two-edged sword. It cuts in two directions. He says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. The Hebrew word there is tamim, for perfect. And that word tamim, that's that same word where the Lord came to Abraham in chapter 15 and said, I am thy God, Abraham. Walk before me and be thou tamim, be thou perfect. In other words, behave yourself as one who is full grown and fully furnished, and we are exhibiting a concept of the work of Christ in us to such an extent that that work appears in its polishing, in its finishing, in its advancement, and not in its decline. It's not talking about sinless perfection in the sense of some, maybe the Nazarene churches and so on. It's talking about the advancement above that which is childish and puerile into, you know, go on unto perfection. That kind of an understanding. So David says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will be a full-orbed king, in other words. But notice that David understands that perfection toward which he strives is yet incomplete in his own life, right? Oh, when wilt thou come to me, is the next phrase. And so David recognizes, as we all do, that while we press ahead, and like the Apostle Paul for the mark of for that prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus, that we recognize that we have not yet attained. Oh, when wilt thou come to me, David says. And so not only will I behave myself in a perfect way, but I recognize that I have a long way to go. When wilt thou come to me, help me, guide me, deliver me, and so on. Then he says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And here we see David then speaking of his house. He's not speaking as a private person here, but as a public person. And so David's house is his kingdom. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So that tamim, that will indeed inform how I administer my kingdom. That's David's commitment here as he speaks it. Now, he has several things to say about that kingdom and about that pursuit. What does he say? First of all, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. My kingdom is going to be characterized by that which is upright and I will not set a wicked thing before my eyes. David here is a good example to all who are in any kind of authority. Some of us in this room have been perhaps owners of our own businesses or leaders of departments in firms, in businesses. How do you administer that authority? Certainly some of us in this room have been mothers and fathers and have a household to care for. How do you administer that authority? Some of you, children, are older brothers and sisters to younger brothers and sisters. How do you administer that authority, that example that you are supposed to set? Notice David's first commitment here is, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Not going to do that. Not going to begin to chip away in my own mindset of that which would draw me from the perfection of Scripture. From that which is good and upright and holy. Second, he says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The work of them that turn aside, that is, turn aside from the path of uprightness. Turn aside from the way of faithfulness. And David says what? It shall not cleave to me. That work will not cleave to me. I will indeed turn aside from the turning aside, if you will. When tempted, I'll turn away from that. A froward heart shall depart from me. Okay, so the old-fashioned word froward is the opposite of toward. So in our day, we have the phrase, talk to the hand, right? I don't need to deal with you. You get away from me. That's frowardness. Except that mostly it has to do here with those God-given authorities and God Himself as that which that toward which this frowardness manifests. I know that's a very confusing phrase to say it that way, but there is this frowardness against God and against the authorities that He has established. And so when David says, a froward heart shall depart from me, that is, those who won't submit themselves under the authority of this kingship. Him will I thrust away from me. And then I will not know a wicked person. In other words, he will not be my bosom buddy, my acquaintance. It's not to say that David's going out of the world and so none of his acquaintances are wicked. No. He's saying that my friends, those who I bring into my confidences, those who have an opportunity to work upon my thinking, well, they won't be wicked. Okay, then in verse 5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. The operative word in that phrase to me seems to be privily. Right? It's not just a public slander that David inveighs against here. It is even private slander. And so what does this teach us? It teaches us that we should not allow those slanders to rise up in our own hearts. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Cut off. A violation of which commandment? The 9th commandment, right? Because we fail to protect the good name of our neighbor. We slander it instead. David says, this is a sin that is worthy of being cast out. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. The kingdom of David and the kingdom of Christ is not a place where the proud come. Oh, we all struggle, wrestle with the sin of pride, no doubt. But we must not, brothers and sisters, we must not be characterized as prideful and boastful. That cannot characterize the citizens of Christ, the citizens of that heavenly kingdom. So him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Now notice, we turn, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land that they may dwell with me. And to have the king's eyes turned upon you means to have his favorable countenance turned upon you, right? And so notice that the faithful then are seeking the king's favor. That's a nice characterization, isn't it? Isn't that who we want to be? Those who seek the favor of our king. By, to the best of our strength and ability, not disobeying him, but following after his commands, working in accordance with what he is accomplishing in this kingdom. That they may dwell with me. Let's remember that our Lord Jesus Christ tabernacled among us, right? All right, so then he that walketh in a perfect way, there's that word tamim again. He shall serve me. What an opportunity we have, right? What an opportunity to serve the Lord. And service is opposed to pride. And the word that David uses for serve here is not the standard word that we see in the Hebrew Bible, what it means to serve as a servant or slave. This is the word that pertains to liturgy. So we might translate this rightly as he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall worship me. He shall bring me those services that comprise my worship. All right, so then back in verse 7, the other way, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Well, we would expect that, wouldn't we? From someone who said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so what place do liars have in that kingdom where he is king? Jesus Christ is, he says of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Psalter speaks of God as the Lord God of truth. And so we hear then what kind of speech we ought to have. That we are to be a people of the truth and that our mouth should not be filled with lies. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord is the final verse there in verse 8. And so we have that overarching commitment, not only of David, but of Christ, to the perfection, to the uprightness of his kingdom. Our king is perfect in every way. We ourselves, not so much. And yet we can mirror that perfection in that tamim sort of way by moving toward Christ's likeness in these days, by showing forth the polishing of the Lord Jesus Christ as he shines us up, as he burnishes and causes us to shine like the sun. And so the kingdom of which we are a part, my dear brothers and sisters, is a kingdom of light, a kingdom of glory, a kingdom of uprightness, and ruled by a king whose pristine moral character is indeed unassailable and unlike anything we will ever know in this life. All of his ways are perfect, and those who come to him will be. That kingdom has already begun. It is indeed present today. It is manifested when God's people come together and call upon his name and pray that he would indeed purge them of all unrighteousness. Thus, Psalm 101.